to know, because like I feel like we're in the new studio, we're in a new space, we have to christen it with a Blake and Julian argument.
Christen.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, actually, maybe I shouldn't, because people don't like when I use like Catholic or holistic terms in the podcast, but no.
To another episode of the 6 Yard Box Podcast in our brand new studio.
Where are we?
It's a place
beautiful.
It's a place that we've recorded before, but with a brand new makeover. And lads, oh my god, I could not be more excited for this amazing fucking studio that we're going to be in for at least the entire summer and beyond that. I'm here,
joined
by my favorite two people in the world right now.
Oh wow.
Well, compliment there.
Two of the top three. We got Antoine, we got Blake, and we got myself sitting here in our brand new studio.
The amount of opportunities that we can...
Yeah, it's crazy.
This, like, the convenience of this, the professional look, everything that surrounds this, we can make this.
You guys cooked. Special. You guys cooked.
Hey, you're part of the plan, too.
No, I know. I did some planning, but, like, I was away, and you guys, you know, you cooked this part of it, and I appreciate that.
Of course.
I do.
Thank you, my friend. Finish it just in time to talk about Liverpool winning the Premier League, to preview PSG's and Arsenal's Champions League tie this week.
On Thursday, we might be... Like, you might have to come here.
Oh.
We might have to move spots.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about United putting up another bad performance. We're talking about the El Clasico. We're talking about Jamie Vardy.
Wait, I have a question. Why do we need to talk about United?
Really
other than the fact that you're a fan of them.
I'm not saying...
I think any we're podcast not talking about in the world that is talking about footy with no bias to any team is just... skipping over United every week.
No, that's fair. Like, I don't want to get into the details of our gritty 1-1 draw with Bournemouth.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't want to because
he's going
to
get into the tactical analysis.
No.
And why the Amorim system specifically did not work in that situation.
Yeah, which is why, again, definitely the most biased on this podcast.
100%.
And, like,
that's completely ridiculous.
No, it's so true.
That's completely ridiculous.
I don't think it's true.
You think it's me?
Thank you.
I think it's
how?
It is you.
It's not.
You put Miles Lewis-Skelly in your team of the season.
You put Bruno.
That's fair.
It was kind of fair.
Oh my god.
Miles is not fair.
It is fair. No. People agree with me.
I think there's just so much more evidence of you being the most biased.
No, absolutely not. Never
you
once.
You go through the archives.
Me talking about the rundown has started another argument. Okay. This is so fun, guys. No, keep going. Keep going.
No. Because like I feel like we're in the new studio. We're in a new space. We have to christen it with a Blake and Julian argument.
Christen.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, actually, maybe I shouldn't because people don't like when I use like Catholic or holistic terms on this podcast. But no. I think it's you.
That was not a Catholic term. You said Miles Lewis-Skelly is God.
No, he said...
No, I didn't say
his
that.
His mentality is like God.
Because God has the strongest mentality, bro.
And respectfully, anyone that says that, oh, don't compare... He wasn't comparing
I
to
wasn't.
God at all.
Thank you very much. Yo,
could God run an Ironman?
Could God carry the ball in the midfield?
What I'm saying is that... When have I ever said that Arsenal were going to win a title before this season when I did back them the one time? And look, it's kind of looking like a good prediction. Never do I think they're going to win the Premier League. I said they weren't going to win the Premier League
never
this season.
Never do you think they'll win the Premier League?
No. Did I ever say they're going to win the Prem? From day one, I said they wouldn't. From day one. Which again, ball knowledge, thank you very much. I'll take my flowers. I'm not biased.
I don't even think that's true. I think if we look back at all the episodes, you could say that Liverpool are gettable. Liverpool are so gettable.
No.
If we put a run together.
Nah, I think so too. I think so.
Oh my God. Obviously.
Like, this is
in
revisionist
the
history.
No,
yeah,
No. No, revisionist history. At the beginning of the season, never did I once say that we were going to win the league. Never once did I say Arsenal were going to win the league. And never once were we top of the table. I should have said maybe, Liverpool are going to fall off. But I didn't say that we were going to capitalize because we never did. But I always stand firm on the fact that I knew we weren't going to win the league this season and last season. Even when we were nine points up, I said we weren't going to win the league.
Yeah, because you're
the only reason, exactly. The only reason that you were saying that is because you're a pessimist and
you
don't want to speak it into.
So I'm a pessimist when I say we're not going to win. And then when I do say we're going to win, I'm a fucking homer and I'm biased. Pick one.
We are 5 minutes into this podcast and Blake is already screaming.
Pick one.
Blake part of Blake thinks that the Leafs are going to blow a 3-0 lead in this series. And if you and I have on camera his reaction after we fucking conceded that overtime goal, and he's going, "This is
we is crazy.
This is how it's gonna."
Yeah, that's another thing.
We is okay. Crazy. That is crazy. You know what? I'll give you that one.
Fair. No, because last year you weren't giving him that one.
Yeah,
last year you were all.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Well, listen, I don't have a hockey team, so like,
yeah, no, it's you not can like say I have no, multiple
hop on,
teams.
Hop on, okay, hop on, okay, hop on. But he's saying like, I feel like guys, it's all over. You texted our football group chat saying like, guys, it's so over, well, guys.
It's I so think it was over because Arsenal and the Leafs are gonna play on the same day now, which is like a lot of stress for my heart.
It could be a great day,
but all I'm saying is we can wrap it up, and I can just say that I don't think I'm the most biased because
no,
overall,
that's ridiculous. No, that's I haven't. Ridiculous. I'm not. It's ridiculous.
You were backing Andre Onana for the longest time.
That is true.
Until now, he's finally like undoubtedly the worst keeper in the league. So you kind of have to go against him.
That's normal fan behavior.
Remember we were doing the who's better then?
Yeah.
He was backing him.
Yeah.
Who's better what?
We were doing the who's better than Andre Onana.
Should we do that?
Yeah, because you said.
I think it definitely has to be a segment that we have to include soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you'd say, like, Andre Boric is better than Andre Onana. And we have to draw the line somewhere.
You mean
Arthur Boric.
Miles Vilar?
Better than Onana. Absolutely.
Who? Miles Vilar.
Absolutely better
Roma
than
keeper.
Onana.
Yes.
I know that name, but I...
He was, like, a young
yeah. Belgian?
Yeah, I think so.
He used to play for Benfica.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Better than Onana. Absolutely. Apparently, there, I don't think there's a keeper in the Premier League I wouldn't have over Onana, right? Or shit, sorry. Other way around. There's a keeper in the Premier League that isn't better than Onana.
You think Onana's the worst keeper in the league?
Yes.
Maybe not in the league.
Should we go with like
but if I say he's not the worst keeper in the league, then I'm getting called biased. But that's not biased. I think that's just still.
But so why is it biased when I do it?
I think that's an overreaction.
Miles Muscelli was the best left back in the league this season.
Because he wasn't. Because he started playing in January.
But he still was the best.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Because you look at the consistency from Kirkez, from Anthony Robinson, and you just compare that to Miles Muscelli, and it's just not there.
Sure, but in all competitions, which I know it's a Premier League team season, but we're talking about consistency throughout the time of playing for each of these players. Miles Muscelli has had the consistency for sure. He has. Just maybe not all in the Premier League.
But if you're making a team of the season.
Sure. I'm just saying. But I don't think overall I'm the most biased. But you can call me that. That's fine. If Arsenal win the Champions League. If Arsenal win the Champions League this season, by the way, we can never get clowned again. Arsenal fans never get clowned again. Maybe if we don't win the Premier League in the next 5 years. Never get clowned again, one. And secondly, you can no longer call me biased because I didn't back my team to win the Premier League in any of these seasons. But the one time I backed them to win the Champions League, look what happens. You can not call me biased. You can just call me Ball Knowledge Blake. That's all you're going to call me from now on.
My God.
Okay, we can go.
What a start. Who is calling this guy Ball Knowledge
Blake? Guys, I've been right about a lot of things recently.
No, you.
Like, maybe not Zach the John Rodrigo. Durant thing.
That's
but
it.
What?
Saka Rodrigo.
No, Saka Rodrigo. Rudiger.
He wants an apology, by the way.
I want
for what?
He wants an apology.
We should find the clip and put it in because
the death threat I gave Rudiger, that was actually valid, guys.
I didn't give a death threat, bro. I didn't do that. I would never do that. He probably gave the ref a death threat though. Jesus.
That was crazy.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
That was crazy.
Okay, we can go.
Do we want to start with Liverpool?
Yes,
we do.
All right, let's start with Liverpool. A domination over Spurs yesterday at Anfield, even though they What would you say?
Nothing.
He's so brain rotted, bro.
Oh my God. Did you say Italian brain rot?
No, I wish.
What'd you say?
I said domination, but I said bombination. Okay. Like combination, but.
5-1 win for Liverpool. They win the Premier League title. Is this the, like, if we're ranking the last 10 Premier League champions, where does this Liverpool team rank?
They're low.
You think they're low?
Yeah.
I don't think they're low.
They're low.
I think they're quite high.
Oh, no.
So they're worse than 2020.
Last 10 Champions League.
Worse than 2020. Premier worse than, are they worse than last season's
like they're probably
City team?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
I thought you were saying champions. Like last 10 champions, like last 10 teams to have won.
Yeah. That's what
okay,
I'm saying.
So you can't count all the eras
of
City.
Yes. Each team that won the Premier League.
Okay.
Which team are they worse
than? So 2015, or I mean, I guess
I'm gonna look up
years,
a,
but
yeah.
Leicester, right?
I think they're
better than Leicester.
Conte's
than Leicester.
Chelsea team.
They're better than Leicester, obviously.
The Invincibles, or not the Invincibles. Centurions.
No. Right.
2019 City, no. 2020 Liverpool.
It's just because it's stacked with City.
But that's what exactly.
People are saying this Liverpool team have been handed the league. I don't think that's true at all. They've played tremendous football throughout the entire season.
They have.
Under a new coach, by the way, which we have to talk about this achievement from Arne Slot, because it's a great fucking achievement to go in to this Liverpool team and win the Premier League in mm-hmm. their first ever season. Mm-hmm. It's not everyone. No one does that.
Yeah.
When was the last time a manager has walked into a team and won the league that same year?
Facts.
Especially in the Premier League, too. The hardest team. The hardest league in the world. The most physical league in the world. Everyone's kind of brushing it off. Oh, they've been handed this league. City have had Rodri out, and it's the biggest piece of their puzzle, and that's why they've been on a downfall lately. Sure, that all plays a part, but you can't deny the consistency that Liverpool have had throughout the entire season. I'm sorry, you can't.
So, yeah. We can go through each of them. So the last one that we can go in the last 10 years, we'll go from like the most recent, or no, the 10th year ago, would be Chelsea. The one after City won it. The one after Aguero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2015 Chelsea. That was Drogba. That was Hazard. That was Mourinho's Chelsea. It was.
Drogba was still there in 2015?
Not sure he was starting. No. He was coming off the bench, Drogba. It was Diego Costa leading the
line. Yes, that's who it was.
Diego Costa, Hazard, Ramirez was really good that year. Yeah. David Luiz was still kicking it.
Mm-hmm. Really good.
That was a really good team, man.
Then we have Leicester. So we can give it Chelsea there.
Because Conte's Chelsea was better.
Conte's Chelsea was better than
absolutely. Leicester, the one team we can like undoubtedly say they're better than is the Leicester team.
But nothing to take away from Leicester. No, absolutely why not. That season but again, is so good.
You can also make the same arguments about Liverpool's run to Leicester's run.
No.
They were opportunistic. The league wasn't as good.
Come on.
You could say that because the lowest points
I'm
tally
saying,
for a
Liverpool. I'm saying
champion.
Leicester were the absolute beneficiaries of that. Their run, while they played amazing,
yes,
they also were the abs. Like, there's no doubt they were the
like Leicester's 2016 point total would not have won them any Premier League title after 2016.
They were undoubtedly.
You know? So why are we comparing them to Liverpool this year?
Because
which is a better team? I think it's Liverpool this year.
I thought it's like no doubt Leicester.
No, it's no doubt Liverpool. That's better.
Sorry, Liverpool. I mean,
yeah. I'm just saying. But the reason why Leicester is bad or Leicester is worse than them is because of the same reasons why we're talking about Liverpool being bad.
I think this Liverpool, if you're counting past 10 years, a lot of that is like, you know, the City era, which is like some of the best champions ever. So like you're looking at Liverpool at like a 7 or an 8, but it's a very kind 7 or 8. Because if we were ranking all the Premier League champions ever, the past 10 years, there would be like, you know, 7 of the last of the best 10 Premier League champions ever have come in the last 10 years. You know? Well, Liverpool 2020, so many City teams.
Well, exactly. You're totally right. Like, I don't think they touch any of the
saying that this Liverpool team is only like the 7th best in the past decade is
they're
still a massive compliment to them because it's such a stacked field.
They're
but
the
I feel
best.
Like that kind of sweeps the them under the rug.
You could argue them over 2015 Chelsea.
Sure.
Because the way we look at a lot of these players now is how we're looking at, like, you know, a lot of the players back then with nostalgia, you know?
Sure.
Like, in 10 years, we'll be talking like, oh, Gravenberg that year.
That's what I'm saying.
Amazing.
Like, there's so many individual players
Konate,
that have had crazy
Trent.
Seasons. Salah's breaking records.
Exactly.
You have Gravenberg, who completely transformed his game. McAllister's one of the best center mids in the
Luis
league.
Luis Diaz, Gakpo. Yeah, we're going to be looking back at this team with...
Why are we sweeping this team under the rug?
We're not. We're absolutely not.
We're not.
I think we are.
I think low-key...
Because you guys are comparing relative to the league, but the reason the league is so shit was because Liverpool's so fucking dominant.
I think the fraudulent one that we're not talking about in the past decade is 2021 City. They were challenged for a little bit by United that year. They lost in the Champions League final to Chelsea, Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Overall, it was kind of a lull year where they were still recovering from kind of being shit in 2020. Mm. And they weren't quite as good as the 2022, the 2023 years and 2024. Like that was a low-key, not great season from City. They finished on like, I think like 85-ish points, maybe 80. I think overall, they weren't the greatest.
Yeah. Guys, this Chelsea team is better than Liverpool. You had Petr Cech and Courtois. Ivanovic, Felipe Luis. Petr
Cech was not that guy. But then
no, but Courtois was that guy. So even if it wasn't Petr Cech, Courtois was
Ivanovic
that guy.
Ivanovic was past his prime. Still a great player, but past his prime.
Felipe Luis, Gary Cahill, John Terry, Aspilicueta.
See, those
Quetta,
are names
Seth
that we're
Fabregas,
looking back
Oscar.
At nostalgia, dude. That
John Terry 2015 is done.
Is valid as hell. Because I think he broke the goal scoring record that year, but like...
What? John Terry.
John Terry,
said.
I said he's done.
Done in 2015? Was he?
Yeah.
What was the year that he broke the goal scoring record for a center back?
Oh.
For a center back, for a defender. Because he was ridiculous.
It might have been 2015. I think John Terry had a... John Terry in his career was never a liability.
Never.
Never. So even if you say he was old, he was never like bringing that back line down, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, Chuck, they were really good defense.
Cuadrado, Matic, Mikel.
But then again,
was one that was definitely
John Obi. He was good.
Yeah,
John Obi, Mikel.
Ramirez, and then Drogba, Hazard,
Drogba was passed,
Diego Costa,
Diego
and
Costa,
Willian.
Fair.
You had a front three of Diego Costa, Willian, prime Willian,
yeah.
and Eden Hazard, pretty yeah. much prime Eden Hazard.
But we're gonna be saying the same thing about this Liverpool team.
But that's it. We're not looking at this current Liverpool team with the same nostalgia. Like in 10 sure. years, we're gonna be going like, oh, Luis Diaz that year was
but
crazy.
He wasn't that good this year.
Luis Diaz wasn't that good this year?
He really
he
wasn't.
He started it off well, but he was just hot and cold
true,
this season.
True.
He had 12 goals and 5 assists. Like, again, we're not just off stats, but it was just...
True. What was Willian's stats that year? Can you find that for
yes,
me?
Yes, I can. Keep talking. Give
like
me a second.
Salah's year.
Salah's year. This is crazy.
This is prime Salah.
This
yes,
is
yes.
Maybe the best individual Premier League year of all time.
Absolutely.
Like you cannot knock that. And the midfield three is crazy good. And I mean, you're talking about John Terry. We can talk about Virgil van Dijk. You know, we could even talk about Konate. We can talk about, you know, the best, I believe, and this is from a United fan, the best Premier League right back of all time on the right of your back line.
There's literally only one weakness in that team this year, and it's the left back. In
yeah,
because
Robertson was injured a little
that's
bit.
That's all it is. You had know? Both keepers playing well. You yeah. had Alisson and Kelleher playing well.
Yeah.
The center backs were sweeping every attacker that,
yeah.
that came across them.
They're great.
Trent had an incredible season.
And this is a much better Premier League than in 2015. I'm sorry. Like back then you had what? Like good teams, don't get me wrong, but like QPR, you know, Adel Taarabt leading that team. Mm. You know, like we could do better. Mm. We could do better.
You could say the same thing this year with Ipswich and
just you
and
could say that about the bottom three. Every like 17 teams in the league that's giving Liverpool a challenge. Are a decent side.
They just the thing. I think the only argument with the Liverpool thing is that they didn't have a challenge this year. They didn't.
In terms of like competition at the top of the table, yeah. But overall, talent of the league is better than it was in 2015.
Sure, but you could also say it's not because you just brought up the three teams that are going down, and that's.
But that's just three teams.
But that's an issue with the Premier League right now, and that's a big thing. That it's happened twice in a row that each of the three. Promoted team from the championship goes straight back
and
down.
Why? Because the other 17 are so good. And because the
so
gap
good
is too
or
big.
The gap is just vast.
Yeah. Because Premier League teams are so good.
But so is exactly. If the ceiling is rising, that means the ceiling doesn't just rise for everyone but Liverpool. It rises with Liverpool as well. So while everyone gets better, it's not just
yeah.
It's not just the teams that aren't Liverpool. It's everyone.
Yeah.
But your point's still valid. But that is something to take.
There's no title challenger against Liverpool this year, like there wasn't really in 2015 against Chelsea.
Fair.
So you can put them. So let's just say, put them over Chelsea, put them over Leicester.
I don't think
maybe 2021 City.
No. I don't think
and that's,
so.
And that's all you could do.
I think like 2021 City's even their midfield, I think is still clear of that.
2021 City, Gundogan was good that year.
Gundogan, De Bruyne. Those two alone, like
kind and of Fernandinho still, and an aging Fernandinho. Yeah,
like again, call me nostalgia merchant, but De Bruyne has been
again. But like that wasn't their best year. Like you could look at it on paper. You look at any City team over the past 10 years yeah. on paper, and they're gonna outdo this Liverpool team. Yeah. That's just facts. They're gonna outdo any of the United teams back in the day, any Arsenal teams back in the day, because that is City's motto. But how good were those players in that season? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like. Bruno was getting compared to De Bruyne that year.
Ruben Dias John Stones partnership in 2021. Yeah. Everyone was talking about the best center back partnership in
true.
The world.
Yeah. True.
Let's not forget that as well.
True. Cancelo was good that year.
Yeah.
He was.
I think he was still better in 2022. Like this is the thing. It's like I didn't fear that City team. 2022 as much.
Willian in the Premier League in 14-15 only had 5 goal contributions, so he was terrible.
That's what I'm saying. But you looked at them like, oh, Willian on the right? That front three is great. That's nostalgia.
Fair. To be fair, though, we can't lie. And I do bring up the stats thing a lot. And I think a player, like wingers especially, do not always, you know, should not always be judged by their stats alone. However, a winger should have more than 5 goal contributions in 36 matches. But there is a double-sided sword to that.
Okay.
I put them 9th, maybe 8th. You could put them above Chelsea, but...
I would argue for 7th.
Sure. So who's... Because... You're putting them above the City team.
Yeah, I would. City. I would.
Fair. Whatever. That's fine. Okay. But they deserve it nonetheless. As the Arsenal fan, I can concede and say you deserve
it. Low-key and hot take, the best Premier League champion in the past 10 years is not the Centurions. It's not Liverpool 2020. It's City 2019. I'm telling you.
Where they beat out
Liverpool. Where Liverpool were on 97 and they were on 99.
Yeah, that's fair.
You can make that argument.
That challenge was crazy.
Yeah.
No.
Either way.
Might have also been because the title race was so interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like that game, that 2-1, that City versus Liverpool at the Etihad, uh-huh. when I think it was Aguero and Sané scored the 2-1. That was the highest level Premier League game
of
all time.
Well, and that's the thing. Like revisionist
and Liverpool won the Champions League that year.
They did. True. They did.
Revisionist history is definitely a thing with these types of arguments.
Definitely. I think the years go on, we're going to be much more appreciative of this Liverpool team.
Maybe.
This Premier League season wasn't the most interesting pound for pound, like all the way down the table.
Absolutely not. Yeah, you're right.
If Arsenal were really challenging Liverpool, but Mo Salah kept on like this production and like carried Liverpool like he has been doing, but with the context of Arsenal right behind, his season would be looked at as better and Liverpool's team would be looked at as better. That's just how it is.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think we're going to give them that recognition with time, sure. But...
Which we should.
And again, we did have this argument last pod. I don't know if you listened, but the argument that Arsenal should have made more of a challenge this year, and I play the injury card really hard, and he was like not having it, which is fair.
It does play a part.
I know we talked about injuries. We don't have to get into this, but again, revisionist history and hindsight definitely adds a lot to these arguments. And maybe I'm blinded by not my hatred for Liverpool, but my disappointment in the fact that Arsenal were not challenging the season.
Mm-hmm.
But kudos to them. They deserved it. Not much to say. They're the best team in the league by far. And I just hope that we can, you know, gain back some points in the overall ranking of football by winning the Champions League. So
could happen. Yeah. Could happen. Definitely nervous for tomorrow. I'll tell you that.
I'm nervous for it too.
Yeah.
I don't want my podcast to break down.
I'm not even nervous yet. I haven't been nervous watching, like, even the Leafs. I haven't been that nervous watching them this season. It's been weird.
Up to this point in the Champions League, I don't think I've been nervous. Maybe Liverpool second leg when we really needed a...
I was nervous in watching Madrid. That's a lie.
Oh, right.
Oh, of course. You had to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. But Aston Villa wasn't really, apart from when they scored those 2 goals in the second half.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to say, like, Tottenham suck. They're an embarrassment. No, because it's a sub-story of the game, but did you see what the Tottenham fans were posting online?
No.
They had a flag, an Arsenal flag, that said Arsenal FC bottlers again with, like, a crying emoji on the flag, some of the fans. And sure, it's like, ha, funny. You're in 16th.
Yeah.
We never were once leading the Premier League, and you got thumped 5-1 in a game that, like, doesn't matter, but you want to show some fucking heart, and you're talking about us bottling again. Even there, I saw Tottenham fans on that Twitter post be like, "Lads, take it down,
take it easy, bro."
Like, what? Like, what are you doing?
No, I don't mind that.
Of course,
you need to mind that because if you're talking shit, at least have some sort of cushion that you like. You played good this season.
Like, did you see what Everton fans did to Liverpool?
What?
You didn't see it?
What Everton fans did to Liverpool?
Let me get this.
But that's different.
You're talking about the flares?
Yeah.
That's different.
I think that's different.
That's different.
That's so different.
That's like a funny joke. This is like you're going out of your way to take a shot at a different team that's not even involved in the game. And that...
Or the title, to be honest. Yeah. They didn't really bottle it. Let's be 100%.
Yeah.
They didn't bottle the league this year.
That's fair.
Bottling it would mean that they were in the lead at some point, challenging for the title, which they really weren't.
Never were.
And you know what, Tottenham fans, at heart, do have that same thought. the goal of that sign is to rattle Arsenal fans, and it seems like it did the job.
No, I don't give a shit. Clearly. Okay, I won't bring up a topic on the podcast then. You know what? Again, see, this is what is frustrating because this is what I talked to you about last week. I'm talking about how they're just lost 5-1. You don't even care about that. You're talking about you're focusing on the point about how, Arsenal fans are rattled. Again, you focused on that. This is, again, my point.
But that was the goal of
Tottenham. But United and Tottenham this entire season have not been nearly scrutinized as much as they should be. They're in 14th and 16th, respectively. Embarrassing. Terrible. Both managers should probably be sacked.
One of the two.
Emery, not because of context, but in layman's terms, looking at it from a basic perspective, in no way would any United manager survive coming 14th without getting sacked at the end of the season.
But Blake, this is, I mean, if we really think back to this season, all but maybe what, two times this entire season, I've come to the studio bragging about United with hope. Every other week is, oh my God, a draw with Ipswich, or oh my God, we got pummeled by Liverpool, or blah, 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 this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. And at the beginning of the season, that was a lot more emotionally draining, and it was a lot more enjoyable for you, I'm sure. But by the time you get to loss number, 10, 12, 15.
I get it.
Then we're numb to United being bad this season. We're not going to talk about them drawing against Bournemouth because it's usual. It's the usual.
That's fair.
So, yeah, you could say we haven't clowned them enough, but I think the fact that we're not talking about it and it's normalized is
worse.
Even more damning than if we made a big deal out of it.
It's embarrassing.
It is. It's embarrassing.
Especially the Tottenham one. And it pisses me off. Sure, you can call me rattle, but it pisses me off that that's your takeaway. You're supposed to rattle Arsenal fans. No, it shows the level of Tottenham and how stupid their fan base is and how deluded they are and the fact that they can't even focus on winning a game against their opposition. And all they care about is holding up a sign to the team that they've been rivals with for their whole lives. Or I guess we moved to North London, but we're so far ahead of them that a sign that doesn't even have any plaudits to what the actual season was.
That's tribalism.
Goes waves on Twitter.
That's what football fandom is. City were still rattling us when we were challenging for trebles year in, year out, and they were in the championship.
It's different, though. There's context in this thing. There just is.
That's rivalries, mate.
Sure. I don't know.
They could go down to League One, and they will still be rattling against us. And you could go down to League One, and you will still be rattling them. That is how
fandom works. They will not be rattling me there in League One. I promise you that.
Sunderland fans still talk shit on Newcastle.
Yeah,
even though they should be.
You're not going to hear my point.
Even though they should have so much shame in with the disaster that that club is.
Yeah, but you can still acknowledge that it's a stupid fucking thing that makes no sense. Like, they just shouldn't. It's just stupid. But you won't acknowledge that because you fucking hate Arsenal at your core. No, you actually do. You actually do. You have a slight, and maybe it's a slight against me, I don't know. But you actually hate Arsenal more than you like to admit. You know I hate United. You know that for a fact. Yes. You as a person hate Arsenal way more than
you
want
to admit. And if we were in swap places, you were in, 15th, whatever, and we were challenging Liverpool for the league, you would be clowning us, right? You wouldn't be like, I would love to clown you, but I have too much shame. No, you'd still be clowning us because that's how football fandom works.
Yeah, but you can also clown someone and then after the fact realize that it was stupid to clown them. People go up 1-0 and they clown and then they lose the game and you still go, you're a fucking idiot for saying that. They're fucking idiots for having that sign up. At the beginning of the season, sure. Or when it actually matters, sure. But the sign doesn't even make sense. That's my point. And you're not even worried about the right things because you're close to getting relegated and you're talking about us trying to do that. And the sign, once again, had no real merit to be even made. It didn't even make sense. That's my point.
But you're not rattled.
I mean, I'm more rattled by you just not understanding it. This is what I'm saying. Your biases, you like to play the innocent card all the time. But your biases and your opinions on things are way more aggressive than you like to admit.
Listen, mate. United could go down to the championship this year, and I will still come here clowning Arsenal, clowning City, clowning Liverpool, clowning rival teams.
If you were the one that was in 16th place, and Spurs are second in the league playing against, or Arsenal's playing Liverpool to basically, if Liverpool win, they win the league.
Yeah.
And they stop Spurs from winning the league. Are you not kind of a little bit happy and clowning Spurs for not winning the league after they've bottled it, sincerely bottled it?
If I'm in 16th, no.
I think you are.
No, I'm not.
I think you are.
If I'm in 16th, no. Do you think you're
not having any passion for the game whatsoever? Because that
I'm gonna hope that we win, but I'm not gonna clown. My team's in 16th place, and the other team is about to potentially win the Champions League. You think my mind is gonna go to, you lost a league that you were never supposed to win, that you were never gonna win? No, man. That's what I'm gonna do. I might be happy that we stopped them from winning the league on that day, but shit.
So Everton fans never have a right to clown on Liverpool.
Of course they do. But this is a different situation, Julian. Everton has always been the little brother of Liverpool. It's always been that way, at least for the last part of the 2000s.
So you're talking about because Spurs are lower compared to their standards.
That 100% also has to do with it.
Yes. Well, you could say the same thing for Everton. Everton, a couple of years ago, you know, year in, year out, 7th to 9th place.
Yeah, but...
And now they're...
Tottenham been to a Champions League final in the last 10 years. They're not supposed to be in 16th.
I'm not saying that they... I'm not defending Tottenham's position whatsoever here.
You are.
I'm just saying, let fans be fans. This is fan behavior.
Let fans be smart fans.
And if you were in 16th, you would have every right to be clowning on Tottenham in the same way.
No, you wouldn't,
bro. And I would not be...
That's not how sports works. Do you think teams that miss the fucking playoffs... You think if the Habs miss the playoffs and... Okay,
But this happens every...
Let me
say, Sam would still clown you every year, even when the Habs weren't making the playoffs.
No, but not right after... Not before something even happens. Nothing even crazy has happened yet. I don't know why we're having this argument. You just like to argue with me, Julian. You really do. Obviously, fans can have banter. That's how these things work. But be smart about it. Don't just talk shit out of your ass because you think it's okay. That's dumb. That's just an abuse of free speech that makes you look like an idiot. Wow. No, it is, though. If you're going to say something... and put it online, you should want the reaction. So one, if you want us to get reactions, sure. But you should have like a reasoning for it that makes sense.
They do want reactions. They do want reactions. That's why they bring it there.
Sure.
They want.
But it's still stupid. And you're in the minority in this one, by the way. Go on Twitter. Go on TikTok. Look at all the things I'm talking about. You're in the minority.
Okay.
Will do.
You just is. I swear to God. Look at the Tottenham fans on TikTok. You're in the minority.
Okay.
I'll show you after.
Fair enough. All right. Shall we go to Spain?
We shall.
Okay. We are 33 minutes into this episode, by the way.
Wow. Already?
33 minutes of the recording. I don't know what minute we started.
It's fine.
Yapping.
Good conversation. Or I've just been yapping. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Next argument we get into, was Blake right about Rudiger, guys?
Yes!
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. Barcelona 3, Real Madrid 2. A dramatic game, but Barcelona for the third time this season coming out on top against Los Blancos. And this is the most embarrassing one yet. Even more than the 5-1, even more than the 4-0.
You think so?
Not 5-1. Was it 5-2?
5-2.
5-2. Even more than the 4-0. Genuinely, I think that.
For Real Madrid, it's embarrassing. Just because of the way they acted.
Genuinely embarrassing for Real Madrid.
Not the game in itself, because I think that's Real Madrid's best game of the season.
Them going out of the Champions League was bad enough. But not even a week later, or just over a week later, to have another trophy slip through your fingers and prove to the world once again that Barcelona are better than you. Also, to have your best center back suspended for who knows how long.
Yeah. Should be a while. If it's not a while, there's a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a real problem with football if it's not a while.
Yes.
They are like...
This is symbolism more than any of the other results. Mm.
They're like that spoiled kid you went to high school with.
I was just about to compare them to a spoiled kid.
Yeah. Like rich parents, you know, get everything you want.
Yep.
Just won the Champions League. You know, still...
Don't even have to try and they win the
Champions League. The best club of all time.
Yeah.
Got the best player in the world. 15 Champions League.
The goddamn minute they feel slighted, the minute things go rough for them, crying about the refs, want to reschedule games, want to throw shit at the officials. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, you think a team that has won so much would understand and know how to act when they're losing?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they've never lost in their lives before. It's embarrassing.
It is.
This is an embarrassing season for Real Madrid in every aspect that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first thing that really started ringing the alarm bells was them boycotting the Ballon d'Or ceremony. We all remember this. When Vinny wasn't announced that he was good going point. To be the Ballon d'Or, they boycotted the ceremony. Then, if we're talking in the game, nothing this season has proven that they're a good football team. They played horrendous football
from
tactics, bro.
September to now May. Mm-hmm. Horrendous football.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you want to talk about more boycotting. They boycotted the Copa del Rey literally this weekend. It started when the referee started crying and them making ridiculous.
I haven't even seen that. What was it?
Basically,
talking about the pressure.
In Spain, they during finals in Spain, they make refs have press conferences,
which is amazing.
No, I think it's fucking ridiculous. Really? First of all, I think it's the second you let you let a referee show their vulnerability to the media, then both sides can interpret it in a negative way for themselves, which is exactly what Real Madrid did. It's exactly what they did. They capitalized on that, and they said that since he cried because Real Madrid makes. Let me give you the rundown. Before the game, when the referee is announced, Real Madrid TV put out a compilation of every single mistake that referee has made against them.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That then goes to the referee. So the referee has a son who goes to school. His Real Madrid friend classmates calls his dad a thief. So the referee a thief. He comes home crying. What picture does that paint for his dad?
Just banter in it.
Against the ref?
Yeah.
That's fair. Well, I mean, no, when you get to the ref's child, that's a little bit.
He's coming home crying. The dad is sad as hell. He breaks down in the press conference, and now Real Madrid say that he's going to be biased against them. So now they decide to boycott the Copa del Rey, not do any press conferences, not go to public training. So many of these things that would happen without that. And just because the ref did a press conference, now everything is messed up.
Yeah.
So that's why they shouldn't do press conferences in the first place.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
But that's another aspect of Real Madrid having an embarrassing season is them boycotting that. They boycotted everything. Yeah. And on top of that, they're complaining to the ref after the game, after, in unbiased eyes, everyone can agree the referee was with them, was on their side during the game. There are so many calls in that game that the referee made that should have gone against Madrid that have gone for Madrid. There's three penalties that the referee missed.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Tchouaméni red card that should be missed, that was missed, that he should have been sent off in the 20th minute.
Facts.
And then he goes on to score the goal to give them the lead.
Yeah,
in the 80th minute. So why are you complaining when you got completely bailed out after crying like little bitches before the game about the referee? You still pull out that embarrassing bullshit at the end of the game, throwing bottles at the referee. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's genuinely embarrassing. Every aspect of their season is embarrassing. It's a season to forget.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Rudiger definitely deserves a ban. I guess he's always had a mean streak in him. But after he stomped on Lewis Skelly, sure, call bias. We can call bias. After he stomped on Lewis Skelly, I my opinion on the man just absolutely changed. And this just reaffirmed it. What a fucking loser. What an absolute loser.
100%. Yeah. If he doesn't get a lengthy ban, like a Suarez bite type ban, I think there's a problem with
Suarez
football.
Bite. Haven't thought about that in a while. Which one? Bite one or bite two?
Bite two.
Okay.
I think you got a long
that long, bite eh?
It's I think so.
Crazy that one of the best strikers of our generation had a biting problem.
Mike Tyson, isn't it?
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
But no.
I want to play devil's advocate just on the referee thing.
I have a point about Suarez real quick. This is a crazy tangent.
Okay.
You know Patrice Evra is going to MMA?
I saw that.
You saw that? He signed with the PFL and he said, my first opponent, I want Luis Suarez.
Interesting. That's it?
Fair enough.
Okay, fair enough. No, like, yeah, fair enough. I didn't know. That's a good piece of information. I won't lie.
He's on a good little streak here.
Yeah.
He went on inside. Was a fan favorite on inside.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He's building out his own channel. I think he's involved the Baller League. Is that right?
Is that wrong?
He's involved with Baller League. He's doing a podcast with have you seen
the
podcast?
Yes.
It's like, he does stupid puns in the podcast. He's like, I can't think of one, but like, it's stupid puns that he does and it goes viral on TikTok.
Fair.
Yeah. And now he's doing MMA.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's going to get embarrassed though, low key.
And if he trains hard, we know he's a hard worker.
No, trust me. It'll be like a CM Punk situation.
Mm. Yeah. Shout out CM Punk, bro.
Not in MMA.
Player devil's advocate.
Okay, devil's advocate. Go on. The only thing I would say is that it holds referees accountable. This is more for North American
post-game, sports. Yes. If you want to do post-games, I'm still a little bit iffy about it, but sure.
Explain your decisions. That's what I want. But before is a little crazy.
Yeah.
But post-game, absolutely.
About your decisions on that game. Yes, not yes, about yes. how the team like, is making you feel.
Absolutely. That, yes. Okay, we're on the same page.
The fact that, we're on the same page. The fact that he even opens up about that aspect of his life, the referee.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's stupid.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I think as soon as he makes that declaration about his son getting bullied because of Real Madrid TV or and him breaking down, as soon as he breaks down, no matter how ridiculous the claims of Real Madrid are for changing the referees, I think the referees should be changed at that point there.
Yeah, I agree. Which is why, remember when we had the ref talk about Arsenal and I said referees can never be truly unbiased?
Hmm.
It was proven in that game. Yeah. In that game specifically. He didn't make one single call right. I'm sure in every whistle that he was blowing, there's that head, that voice in his head telling him, did I really make that? Was that really the smart decision? Am I going to get backlash? Are they going to make another compilation of me making mistakes against Real Madrid?
Yes.
You cannot
take that. Why I think Real Madrid said it, to plant that in his head. Because I think even subconsciously, like you try to look almost bias for Madrid to balance out
Which is exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Anyway.
Yeah.
We talk about the game itself?
Let's talk about the game itself. Not many bright spots for Real Madrid, but I'll tell you what, Antoine. I didn't think Bellingham looked bad.
He was very good.
Yeah.
He was very good. There was just that one moment where Pedri literally sunned him.
Yeah. Literally.
I'm going to take your ball and then I'm going to score this.
He's on the family picture of the goal. He passes the ball to Cubarsí, who, by the way, had a great game. Yes. Everyone's kind of sweeping him under the rug. Like, he was good. He had a great game. I think he was man of the match in that game. Anyways, intercepts that ball, and then he goes like this.
He just stands there.
Stands in the midfield like this. I just fucked up a pass, and Pedri just super pinged it.
Have you seen that meme of the, like, the... It's like the black guy.
That was
literally
what it was. What are you doing?
What is he doing?
But great game from him, by the way. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. The best midfielder on that pitch.
Did Arsenal break you, low key?
I still think he's one of the best midfielders in the world, man.
Yeah, he is.
Like, I do think after the... I think there was too much hate on Jude after the Arsenal tie.
After the Arsenal tie, I think that he was totally justified.
This he was bad.
He was bad. He just ran for no reason. Ran to nowhere. He's just a runner.
But
he just ran.
But when Real Madrid are down 1-0, he is the best player on the pitch at that time.
Yeah.
Mbappe had a great game too, I think. I thought when he came
free
on.
Kick.
Yeah. He changed the Goulart and game. Mbappe substitutions changed the game. I don't know why they didn't start with that.
Well, I think Mbappe was injured going into it.
Even Goulart, bro.
We talked
about Goulart not getting minutes.
You guys have been on Goulart for a while.
He's a spectacular player, I think. Yeah. I think he has great potential. Maybe it's not smart starting him in Champions League's game, but bringing him on early.
Better than Odegaard.
I love it.
Come start.
I'm kidding. That was an ambitious fish. That was an ambitious fish.
Bro, half of these Real Madrid players should come to Arsenal and everything would be good.
Guys, just imagine. Wait,
what?
Why are we going back to Arsenal?
Like, imagine if Mbappe was on Arsenal, bro. This. Just imagine.
We're not doing this.
Sorry.
We're not doing this. Look at this guy. On Barca's side, let's hit some Barca players. I think
I thought Chesney played well. From what I saw,
Chesney had a decent game. He had some important stuff.
I want to talk about Yamal.
I want to talk about Yamal too.
Because the risk to reward on dyeing your hair like Neymar right before the final and making a big deal on it, bro. The risk on that is fucking crazy. And for the first half, I mean, he got the assist, but like I didn't see Yamal crazy, and I was like, you know, if Barca lose this, he will get clowned on.
Lamine Yamal didn't have a great game on.
He bagged two assists, but it wasn't like crazy impact he had.
He didn't have a great game at all. I thought he was quite silent, but he did get those two assists,
and that's what makes him so good.
That even when he doesn't have the craziest games, he still pulls out moments of brilliance like that second assist.
Yes.
That's what differentiates the good players.
The good players from the great players.
You can have a stinky game, but in that one moment where your team needs you and you need to equalize, and you need to bring the score back, you're the guy to rely on. You're their guy. That pass to Ferran Torres is spectacular.
Ridiculous.
Spectacular.
And I think Courtois and Rudiger should both do better on that.
Courtois more than Rudiger, I think. But yeah.
Even Rudiger, as the ball is crossing, like, the ball is
hard.
It's against your momentum. Like you don't really see it, first of all, because it's kind of behind you in your blind spot.
Yeah.
And like you can't really kick out a leg as you're like in the running.
I think he should slide as
like before
Ferran takes the shot, because he tries
instead
to
of trying to
catch up the ball. Yeah, I think as it was crossing Rudiger, it was like his blind side. But again, I would argue as a defender, you should be looking at that, not looking forward. I think if he slid earlier as Farron was taking it, the ball as it came to Rudiger was not even 3 feet in front of him. Like you could pause it on that clip and see how close it was to it. I think if he slid out at an earlier time, he could have got there. Maybe. Courtois should be doing better there. It's one of those communication moments. Yeah.
But he just went early. So like it was just a decision thing.
It
was
a decision making thing.
He went early and then he couldn't.
But again, it's the pass by Yamal that opens up that opportunity.
And that's why he is so good. Because he can have a bad game and still
pull that out.
Yeah. Valid.
Rafinha, other hand, Rafinha.
You saw those reports, eh? This
game.
Reports?
The reports about him would getting an offer.
Yeah, he would have accepted
from Saudi.
He said, before the season started.
Please, no.
Yeah.
Before the season started.
I was going to say, essentially last year, he just said that he got an offer from Saudi. This year he got an offer from Saudi.
No, I'm pretty sure it was before the season started before this season started, he told the media that if he had an offer from Saudi in the millions or whatever, like Saudi offers every player now, he would have accepted it. That's what
I thought it was this year. Like he just recently got one.
No, I'm pretty sure it's
okay, whatever.
That makes sense.
But he said he was in a really bad mental space.
He was.
Yeah.
And like he didn't feel comfortable or he didn't feel good about his game, and now obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet. But the fans were talking about Rafinha going. I remember that.
Yeah.
Because
the
big talk was Nico Williams.
Yeah, that's
God
true.
Damn.
That's true.
It's gonna,
Yeah.
But he had a bad game against Real Madrid. He had a really, really bad game. He was taking his chances way too soon.
Yeah, he was quiet as fuck.
He
Can I say though,
his shots were poor.
In the second half of extra time,
it's harsh.
That was one of the best dives I've ever seen. That was like
I didn't see
when Asensio brought him down.
Yeah.
Immediately, I said penalty. And Asensio was going saying no, but bro.
Great dive.
I was like, what is this guy doing?
Great dive.
This is obviously a penalty.
Yeah.
It looked bad. Like, it wasn't until the slow motion replay that went like, oh my God, he wasn't caught
at all. Maybe a hand on the back, but that's it.
That's it.
That's literally it.
Great dive, Rafinha.
Great dive.
But besides that, he was wank.
Yeah, it wasn't good at all.
But yeah. Talk about Koundé, man.
Man, Koundé.
Didn't know he had a shot in him like that.
I know he had a shot in him like that?
We were saying,
not.
Does Courtois need to do better there?
No. I think it's too fast.
If it's Onana, you're saying he should be doing better there.
No, it's too fast, and he's also a little bit blinded by his center back.
Facts.
So he can't really see
can't
it.
Forget
it's
about
like
that
a, it's like a, what do they call that? The daisy grazer? Some play?
Daisy cutter?
Daisy cutter.
Grass cutter. Cutter?
Grass cutter.
Yeah.
I don't think it was. Was it? It's like
I don't even think that was a grass cutter.
It
kind of looked like it though.
It was just a low shot.
Yeah.
Great performance from him. Completely locked up Rafinha,
mm-hmm.
which is why he had a shit game because Koundé was so good.
Wait, what?
Completely locked up Vinny, which is why he had a shit game because Koundé was so good.
Yeah.
And in extra time, just takes the ball into the midfield and scores a beautiful goal. Yeah. I think his season overall is symbolic of that game. It's just consistent throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Is he one of the best right backs in Europe now?
Yeah, he's second for sure.
Yeah.
Above Trent?
That's been consensus for a while.
He's better than Trent?
He's better than Trent, I think. This season, at least. He was better than Trent.
So Hakimi and him?
Hakimi and his top two.
I mean. And then,
no, but it's not. How it's not ridiculous to say that. But it's not ridiculous to say that.
Why are you saying
Trent?
You didn't even put him in your team of the season.
Yeah, because Olaena had a better season.
I don't think he did. First of all, I would have put him in my team of the season, Trent.
Okay.
But I don't think...
We're putting two of his favorite players, two of his lovely players.
But do they not deserve it, Blake?
They absolutely deserve it.
You don't think he's better than Trent? You don't think
Trent... Koundé or Trent, I would...
You gotta go Trent.
Koundé has obviously had a better season, but I would still edge Trent.
No,
edge Trent right...
Koundé's had an exceptional season. Me and him are always on the same side. Look at me here.
No.
Remember his
I'm
stuff
sorry.
At the beginning of the season?
This season,
with like the PSG
I'm not taking Trent.
I remember last year about him, PSG winning the league.
Hakimi number one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Koundé
number two.
Koundé has been very good.
Bro,
this year.
Why are you guys?
No, I don't, Blake.
Lad.
I also know he watches Barcelona.
And we
will barely watch a lick.
Fair.
A couple more licks here.
You have a lot more licks than I do.
Yeah.
I'm getting on it. I watch that. getting on it. Yesterday I was busy, but
I watched the biggest match in Spain this year, guys. But yes.
I'm just saying.
Koundé is too.
Slight fraud watch.
No, you look at the
on
season.
On Koundé?
No, on Antoine. Slight bias watch.
No, this guy said
PSG was going to win the Champions League last season.
Okay, it's
that
like,
was
biased.
That was
biased. Like wants to.
It's a he's had his biased moments. I'm not. I'll admit that I've had.
But
I think to say that Hakimi and Koundé is number two is an opinion you'll find a lot more than just from Antoine.
Okay, fair. I'm just taking a mental note.
What makes Koundé so good this season is that he's kind of transformed his attacking game. Because he's always been good in defense.
That's a good point.
He was a center back. He's a center back originally. Yeah. He's an original center back. But he's been moved to right back over these last few years. And his attacking production wasn't great at all.
Yeah.
But this year, it's been very good. The crosses he sends into the box, the passes he can find, the pings to the other wing, it's very consistent. And it's been consistent throughout the entire season while also maintaining that defensive prowess that he's had throughout his entire career. You look at even his games for France.
Mm-hmm.
He was very good for France as well in the Nations League, in the friendlies, a key piece in the French team.
All right.
What?
We're talking about friendlies. Come on.
Okay, but.
Come on. Okay,
Nations League.
Sure.
You can take the friendlies out of there. Nations League.
All right.
He was good.
All right, fair. Sure. I'll give it you.
When was Trent good this year?
I mean,
apart from the Premier League season. In the Champions League, was he good in the Champions League? Wasn't great.
Well, yeah.
Did he play for England that much? No.
Trent's bad games are a lot more publicly scrutinized.
Absolutely, because he's a bigger player.
English.
We'll be watching Liverpool a lot more.
He gets dribble passed, and we're like, oh my God, it's...
Yeah.
Trent can't defend once again. But fair. I'll give it you.
Thank you.
I'm just making
notes. That's fucking crazy.
I need to keep receipts now because I need more evidence for when I bring up stuff so I don't get clowned.
And when I say Dembele's better than Saka, is that a problem?
It's not a problem. That is more of a problem, I'll say. Because I don't agree with you on that.
That's fine.
Hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's move on to the next topic. We are 53 minutes.
Do you guys see Carlo Ancelotti's leaving after the end of the season? And where he's going?
Yes, I see that.
Yes.
So he is taking the Brazil draw. I thought he wasn't.
Apparently.
We should clip up those Xabi Alonso conversations we had last week.
We should.
Was I in there? No.
You were there. You were there. It was the Remonada episode.
Remonada. It's a great title.
That was a fantastic title for you.
Great title.
Fantastic title from you.
Thank you very much.
Our most viewed episode. By a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the clips did that.
Clips did that for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyways, what's next on the agenda, Blake?
So we can either, depending on timing, like we obviously don't want to go too long.
Yes.
You know, there was some Prem stuff. We don't have to do the ESPN thing. I think we just do Prem stuff and then Champions League.
The ESPN thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
I just want to.
Okay, so
give it a touch.
ESPN. Show me ESPN.
Give it a touch.
Touch me.
You don't have it?
No.
I'll pull it up right now.
I have it on my computer if you want to give it to me.
Because this is just like my blind reaction.
I just want to say, like.
For context.
One of the worst lists I've ever seen.
Okay, for context.
Remember in the summer. They did like top 25 footballers of all time.
Yes.
Horrendous list.
Yes.
We completely redid it.
Yes.
They did their top 25.
Oh, that was fun.
Or top 39.
Top 39. 39
young players.
Youngsters.
That was fun.
21 and under.
So 21 and under.
Even worse.
Okay.
Shall I go through the entire list? We'll
go
quick.
Go for it.
39, Yankuba Minte.
We're doing all 39? Okay.
38, Nico Paz. Big jump in my opinion from 39 to 38. Nico Paz has been one of the best youngsters in Serie A this season. 37, Endrick.
Too low.
Way too low.
Way too low.
Absolutely too low.
Yeah.
Well, just because he didn't play any minutes? He didn't play
But he's
many
been
minutes.
Good in those minutes. So like
he's been decent in those minutes. Yeah. We didn't talk about him in El Clasico. Fucking horrible. Anyways. Archie Gray, 36. You're putting Archie Gray over
Archie
Endrick.
Archie Gray over Endrick. Wow.
Which, by great potential.
Archie Gray's not bad.
But over Endrick?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Let's be serious here. Malo Gusto, 35.
I forgot he existed.
Seems low.
Giovanni Quenda, 34.
That seems fine.
Over Endrick?
I'm not talking about over.
He
now.
Has potential.
Obviously,
okay,
Endrick should not be that low. But 34 seems all right for him.
There's obviously a talent there. Yeah. You want to know who's 33, Blake?
Yeah.
Ethan Nunnery.
Okay. I don't want to talk. I'm over this list already.
Too low.
I don't even want to know anymore. I'm over it already.
Keep going. Rapid fire.
Yeah.
32, Jamie Gittins. 31, Antonio Silva. 30, Miles Lewis-Skelly.
Okay.
Way too low.
29, Rico Lewis.
Oh, my.
Like, come on. He is not that good.
Hey, he scored a good goal at the weekend. He is not. We have not talked about the FA Cup games.
He was playing striker.
Oh, yeah.
We have not talked about the FA Cup games.
He was playing striker at the weekend.
Shout out Palace. Shout out City. I wonder how that final is going to go.
Yeah.
Palace.
You know what? Palace could win it.
Palace are like a...
They have the Ollie...
They're like a bogey team for City.
Oh, I would love a Palace.
Ollie team's name?
I would love it. Ollie, what?
Never mind. I'm more chronically on football.
Oh, you're talking about the TikToker.
Yeah.
Yes. Go on.
Dean Huijsen, 28. Think a little too low, in my opinion.
Too low, yeah.
Garnacho, 27.
Garnacho dropped stock, Loki.
Yeah, he has dropped stock this season.
Ousmane Diomande, center back, 26.
He's a good little player.
Désiré Doué, 25.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Ridiculous.
What are we doing?
Ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
He is top five.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's top five.
Yes.
U21s, you have Yamal, obviously. I think he should be first. Mm-hmm. Bellingham.
Yep. Verts.
Verts.
Yeah. Musiala.
Is he under 21?
We'll check the list.
I don't think he is.
He's there.
We'll head into the top 10. Actually, let me see if there's any notable. 23, Lenny Oro.
Yeah, give me the notable ones.
Lenny Oro over Desiree Doué.
That's what I'm saying. Miles Kirkes, 21. Okay. No, not really. Kenan Yildiz, 20. Great talent there. Estevao, 19. Now, I know a lot of people are hyping this guy up.
Christ.
They're hyping this guy up.
Crazy.
But off of what? Yeah, that's crazy. Like, he has a potential to become a great, great, great
Don't get me wrong, but man.
Yeah. But fuck me, man.
He's also playing for Chelsea, so he is not seeing any minutes.
A lick.
In the next 3 years.
Arda Güler, 18th.
Too low, man.
Too low, I agree. Alejandro Balde, 17th. Too low as well. Oh. Too high?
Okay, maybe too low.
Too low.
No, too low, I meant.
Wow.
Fermin Lopez, 16. A little too high.
Where do you want Balde?
Balde? I think he sneaks top 10. He's been probably...
How many?
Let's get to top 10.
He's probably been the best left back this season.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get into top 10. By the way, John Duran is 13th, which is fucking crazy.
John Duran dropped so much stock.
What is he doing up there?
Yeah, anyone that goes to Saudi.
Savinho, 10th.
No.
Ridiculous.
Crazy, no.
Alexander Pavlovich, 9th.
Crazy.
He's a good player. There's a lot of
Bundesliga bias in here because ESPN have the rights to the Bundesliga.
Fair. Really, yeah.
Same with La Liga, I think. I think they have La Liga, too.
Yeah.
So a lot of bias towards those two leagues here.
Pavlovich, he's a good low player, but...
Yeah.
Gavi, 8th.
Sure.
Xavi Simmons, 7th. Why is he still up here?
Come on, man.
Yeah, why is he still up here?
Come on. That's the Bundesliga bias.
Oh, my goodness. Zaire Emery, 6th. I'm sorry, no.
Too high. Yeah, way sorry, too no. high. Yeah. Way too high.
I'm not biased now. Yeah. So, no, way too high. João Neves, 5th. Fair?
Yep.
Maybe a little bit higher, 6-7.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's close enough.
But 5th is good. Pau Cubarsí, 4th. That's one I forgot to mention in the top five. I think he makes my top
Musiala's
5 for sure.
Musiala's not there?
Musiala's not there. And 3rd, you have Bellingham.
Okay.
They have Virts over Bellingham at 2nd. And then obviously number 1 is Lamine Yamal.
Yeah. All right.
This is an awful list.
This is not good.
A horrendous list.
This is a very bad
list. Yeah, it's
list.
Not good.
What basketball guy they put on that?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's not good.
They need real.
It's just killing the reputation. Just like we are, to be honest.
It was.
But
what?
Just like we are.
How?
Like, you know, like people see our horrendous takes that we clip up.
No.
You what fucking
are,
what asshole.
What no, are I'm not. I'm looking at both of you. What the fuck? No,
what horrendous takes
eyes
have
like
we?
Dead eyed.
Give me an example. I need a concrete example of a horrendous take that we've.
I know
exactly where we've brought say. The reputation exactly of Canada down.
Like
he's trying to think of one that isn't mine. That's what he's saying. Like Mbappe
in
D tier.
In D tier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Gabriel overrated. You could argue that.
There you go. Yeah, you know, it's doing pretty good again.
Like
that clip.
Is it?
Yeah.
Anyways,
poor take. Like Hakimi Ballon d'Or, maybe.
Hold on, I want to look at her. I want to look at her videos.
No.
Salah.
Oh, like if
Salah was gonna win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah. No. What?
Salah.
Blake.
Salah. What? God, what?
He's still
gonna win a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah. He's still up
no,
there.
He's not.
Who do you think is gonna win?
I don't think he's in top three right now.
Jesus.
I seriously
Antoine,
don't.
What?
You when you think of the Ballon d'Or, you have to think of the competition that allows players to the competition that rates them the most, which is the Champions League. Where is Salah in the Champions League?
Yeah, but no one...
He has ghosted against PSG in the round of 16, and before that had 3 goals in the entire tournament,
yeah,
where you play 3 more games than
okay,
you would
Desiree,
usually.
Okay, Desiree Doué is going to win the Champions League if you guys, or win the Ballon d'Or if you guys do it? Or?
He's going to win the Golden Boy. I'll tell you that. Whoever wins the Champions League, if it's Barca, it's Cubarsí that wins the Golden Boy. If it's PSG, it's Desiree Doué that wins the Golden
is
Boy.
Is Liverpool in the Club World Cup? No.
No.
Right?
That shouldn't matter. I mean, I guess
if PSG wins the Champions League, it's going to be Dembele. I promise you it is. Salah has no chance of winning the Ballon d'Or anymore. He doesn't. We talked about this.
Yeah.
No, but they...
We talked about this.
I don't
this.
Think... I think he no, still he has no chance. He still has a slim chance, but
he
needs,
doesn't.
Like,
no, he doesn't.
He needs...
No, he doesn't.
Listen, if Inter win the Champions League and Lautaro Martinez that's does not have chance. Another goal contribution...
That's his best chance.
So what if Arsenal win the Champions League? Who... That's I think it's still probably Salah.
Then it's probably...
No, it's not.
It's not an Arsenal player.
It's not Salah. I promise you
is
that.
Is it Rice?
It's not Rice, dude.
It's
Ballon d'Or's gone if it's Rice. I'm sorry.
It's probably Rafinha or Pedri.
No, he's good. He's good. Don't get me wrong. He's fucking fantastic. We've given him so much credit this year. He's a great Ooh. Player. One of the best midfielders in the world. Okay, but this is the truth of the matter. If he wins the Ballon d'Or, the whole system needs to be torn down and rebuilt.
Bro, Jorginho almost won it. So no, it doesn't.
That was when it was based
and
on
we
trophies.
Talked so much shit about that.
You... What
I'm saying, Champions and that, League.
And you just said
I was saying,
you
bro,
just
and that was
Italy.
Italy.
You just
and that was Italy.
They changed
and that was
criteria.
Italy. And that was Italy.
Okay.
And
they
that was Italy.
Their criteria.
But clearly, you still think of the
because it's
matters.
The biggest competition in Europe.
But you
you think they're gonna go for the fucking top scorer of Serie A too? No.
But
so why should it be so, why?
Because Salah has also
yes,
done
he's
a,
had
a,
yes,
a
yes,
generational
yes yes
run
did Thierry Henry win the Ballon d'Or when he had 20 plus assists in 1 year? No, he didn't.
True.
True.
But they changed the requirements, Antoine.
They did. It was based off of trophies. Yeah. Now it's based off of contributions in the biggest stage. Like how you perform, actually, basically, in the biggest stage. Sure, Salah has an incredible season in the Premier League. Historic. No question. Does he have a chance of winning the Ballon d'Or? I don't think so.
I think he's going to be third or fourth
in the rankings.
Okay. Probably. But.
It's going to be top three. You're going to have... Whoever wins the Champions League, it's going to be that main player there.
But in no particular order.
In no particular order, I think Rafinha, Pedri, Dembele. Top three.
Yeah. Yeah. Could argue.
Sure.
Lautaro Martinez could sneak it.
Maybe. If they win the Champions League.
Thing about Lautaro is he isn't put up the stats.
If they win the Champions League, he'll be higher. I don't think
he'll win the level that you want to
I'm just thinking he almost won it last year.
But Argentina,
yeah.
Yeah. No, if Inter
if
wins,
if Lautaro just put up a little more stats chance. As a striker, I know that's not his
and also,
that's not his role, but that's I think what'll hold him back from actually winning a Ballon d'Or and from people seeing him as like the player that he is that he plays that striker and he doesn't always put the stats up.
But also whoever wins the Ballon d'Or will also have to put in great performances in the semifinals and the finals. It could be. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it could be Declan Rice. If Declan Rice, again, has two incredible games in the semifinal and a man of the match performance in the final, it could still be him.
That is true.
It's about the performances in the biggest games.
True.
It could still be, it could be anyone. I think it's anyone's to win.
The thing holding Arsenal players back is that they're not leading in their league.
Yeah.
Which, like...
Neither, yeah.
Anyways.
I mean, Barca still could not win the league, but they probably will.
So. Anyways, let's move on because we're spending way too much time on this episode, and I have to give it to the studio because it is so comfortable to the app.
It is such a good app. It's great.
This is good. I was worried about like the environment. You know, it may not be like optimal. Mm. Yeah. Have, like some subconscious effects that makes me want to go through episodes faster. But no.
Yeah,
it's kind of doing the opposite.
Yeah,
may not be good for listeners. I don't know. Anyways, let's get into the next little bit of news. I want to touch on really, really quickly. We have some history here in the English football pyramid. Wrexham is going to the championship, boys. Shout out to them.
I love it.
The first time in history a team has gone back-to-back promotions.
Yeah.
How?
Are they that good? I didn't know they were that good.
Over under 3 years till we see them in the Premier League.
Under.
Over. Slightly.
Lads,
I know this from my football manager days. If you're climbing the English pyramid, the championship is by far.
Yeah.
The hardest to go up to.
However, no championship team has the money or the pull that Wrexham does.
Does no team have the money that Wrexham does?
I mean, look at the teams going down. Leicester?
The pull, then. Because, sure, you can go to Leicester as a 30-year-old Englishman who might have to stay in the championship for the rest of his career. But if you go to Wrexham... You know that there's like another aspect of social media hype and fame that you can garner if you do take the jump and go to Wrexham. And you get to meet Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, but
I'm just saying that's how they've gone. That's been their way they've gotten done it so far. And I don't see how that will drastically change when they go into the championship. Not saying they're going to go up this season, next season, but
can you? While I do this next to the app session, can you ask ChatGPT the last time someone went League One back to back promotions to the Premier League? Do you know what I'm saying? Actually, no, you don't have to look that
up. It's been like no one's ever done it.
Wasn't it Wait, didn't Ipswich do it?
Oh, back to back.
Yeah, back to back promotions from League One to the Premier League. To the, you know what? So it's not impossible, but I don't think the streak is going to continue with Wrexham. I think they're at least spending two buffer years in the championship. Maybe in year three they come up.
Yeah.
The competition is fierce. They have to be competing next year with the Ipswich, the Southampton, and the Leicester, which, look really shit right now, but in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. In the championship, they're going to look miles better.
ChatGPT says Southampton, but...
Southampton?
Yeah.
In what year?
2011-12.
Maybe that's right. Yeah. Maybe that's right. Maybe Ipswich did have a buffer year in the championship as well.
I think they
did,
to be honest.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did. Maybe, I don't know. You're
going to miss them, man.
But no team just comes with the championship and instantly goes up. So
shout out Arthur Conquo, man.
What about Luongo?
Arthur Conquo plays for Wrexham.
Oh.
But
shout out
Massimiliano or Massimo Luongo is good too.
Yeah, Mullen? Mullen, what's his name?
Paul Mullen.
We should get Miles on this segment. He's an expert. Expert on Wrexham, I'm telling you.
Arthur Conquo, man. If you know, you know.
Anyways.
Arsenal legend.
Favorite Ryan Reynolds movie?
I just watched Proposal. It was actually really good.
Oh, that's such a blank answer, man.
Okay.
Wait, Proposal, is it like a rom-com?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a blank answer. I'm pretty basic. Probably the first Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What other Ryan Reynolds movie is there? I'm thinking of a big one, I feel like. There's some massive animated one I'm missing.
I'm not well-educated on this topic.
Neither am I, really.
Yeah.
Can you name us some, Blake?
Jay Rodriguez plays for Wrexham?
Okay, no, he cannot.
Plays for Wrexham.
What if Vardy goes there for you?
That's what people are saying.
Yeah.
Because Vardy is leaving for people who didn't.
Yeah, let's get on to that.
Yes.
There's not really much to say. It's kind of old news.
A Premier League
legend.
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 Yes. Premier League legend.
Jay Rodriguez.
Leaving the league.
Wow.
That's crazy. Okay.
Blake doesn't care.
I think a 1 year in the championship does him well, and then he goes wherever.
I'm just
looking
at the Wrexham squad. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to talk about? Like, I want to touch on the United news as well.
Yeah.
We're not gonna go fucking play by play here.
Are we? We'll see.
On the Bournemouth game, but in the past week, United look sure to sign. What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm showing him that Arthur Conquo just plays for Arsenal.
I thought it was. Anyways, continue.
Because that's, remember he said. Yeah.
Yeah. Continue.
Okay. Right. So it looks like Mateusz Cunha is going to United.
I saw that.
Is my point here.
Okay.
We're going to pay his release clause.
That's a lot of money.
Looks like we're really in for Liam Delap as well. Don't know how I feel about those. However, big possibility that Garnacho goes now in the summer.
Which would be good, bad?
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I don't think Garnacho really fits in the Amorim system. I would much rather get a Cunha that can play that 10 role. And as far as Liam Delap goes, maybe that means Hoyland goes. I don't know.
Good riddance?
God, he's so shit.
He's bad.
He's so bad. So is Xerxes.
I'm losing confidence in Hoyland. I still think he is...
You haven't lost all confidence yet?
No. I'm losing... Like, no matter his performances, I will maintain that I think he's a good player. That is a classic example of coming to United and just... ruining your career, something in the mentality,
just like Onana,
or the environment, maybe the fucking weather. I don't know what it is, but I think we could sell Hoyland this summer to Serie A, Bundesliga, whatever, and I think he tears it up in the next couple of years. And you are once again clowning United for being United and having players do so much better after they leave, and that'll hurt because I will maintain, I think Hoyland is a really good player that just cannot work at United. I don't understand why. Yeah. Same thing with Garnacho, low-key. I think it's a perfect time to sell Garnacho. I think he has obvious talent. but he is declining. And I think this summer you could still,
exactly.
He's not full shit where you're not getting nothing for him. He's not Antony level where like you have to borderline pay teams to get him. He still has value and teams see that. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of becoming obvious that maybe the train is off the station for his time at United, you know? As far as next season, that would give us options of Mateus Cunha and Bruno playing the 10s, maybe, unless Bruno plays an 8. It would give us Ugarte, and we'd have to bring in another 8 to play alongside him. That would have to be, well, not Quenda anymore because Chelsea got him.
Yeah.
But it'd have to be maybe a right-sided player instead of Dalot, maybe Liam Delap up top if Højlund doesn't go. Or if Højlund does go.
This transfer window is certainly going to be interesting.
It's going to be good for everyone.
You know what I think we should do on this pod? I think we should have an episode where we all rebuild teams. Like ideal transfer window episode.
Yeah, I love that.
That's good.
I love that. And do like a full on, like you have the budget in front of you. Like we talk about 100%. Like how it would actually work if teams could do that. If you're doing it in installments, fucking all of that shit.
100%.
All of that shit.
100%. Because footy's going to get dead after the World Cup. There's that period between July and August.
Transfers will still be cool.
They'll still be cool, 100%. Packed,
but
that's where we should really...
Yeah, smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting creative with segments this summer, for sure.
We are,
for sure. For sure.
Yep.
But, hey, man, I'm fucking looking forward to it. Anyways, boys, is there anything else to talk about?
All right. 255-71. Not bad.
On the United segment.
Decent. Usually you kind of like... You kind of were doing it there too. You just like, you keep going with like all your, that's what I was showing him. I was showing him this timer.
So the Luongo thing you told me is just a complete lie.
Yeah. He's not happy.
But no, usually like you like be like, yeah, we're not going to talk about United. And it's like this thing and then this thing and this thing and this thing. And it's all valid stuff, but it's just like.
Oh, I'm actually seeing that we're coming in a little bit under time. We're sitting at about an hour 13 right now.
Okay.
So cut off the first couple of minutes. We're sitting about an hour 10.
Okay.
If our average is an hour 20.
Okay.
Then
so let's.
But isn't that what we said? 105 to 120.
Yeah.
That was the idea.
Yeah. Let's try it. Okay. Let's quickly go over Champions League. Preview Champions League. And then we can stop. No laptop needed.
I'm shitting bricks.
Yeah. I'm a little scared.
I'm not going to lie. No, you're not.
I'm not.
Not as much as me. Why? Because from an objective point of view, we've been playing not as good as before PSG have. We just lost our undefeated streak in Liga to Nice. We played our best team there, and we still lost. And the performances before that against Nantes, even against Aston Villa, I didn't think we were very good. I'm a little worried because Arsenal can capitalize on those mistakes. They can capitalize on those bad stints of form. And the best time to do it is tomorrow at the Emirates. If Arsenal really want to do good in this tie, they're capitalizing tomorrow because PSG are kind of a little bit on a bad run of form. And Mikel Arteta knows how to deal with that the best.
Yeah, the only thing I'm nervous about is that in our last game against PSG, it took a header from Kai Havertz, who is no longer available to play for us. And it was a weird free kick that...
A mistake from Donnarumma.
Probably should have had.
Yeah.
So it's like two not fluky goals. The second one's probably fluky.
You also dominate PSG in that game.
No, you. We literally had a conversation on this podcast on how they low blocked the entire game.
See, he was mad because we did absolutely outclass them, but he's mad because he didn't think it was. He thought we just sat back.
We watched this game together, didn't we?
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
We watched it. I was in class watching it.
We did absolutely outclass them. They really didn't have any lick in the game, in my opinion.
You just played your low block for the first half.
Like,
they didn't dominate us. They just played their low block.
And it worked.
It did. But they didn't dominate us. Who had more of the ball? We did. We had more of the chances as well.
But I think we dominated the game plan. Like, I think we did exactly what
he coached a great game, Arteta. Yeah. I'll give you that.
And I don't think we're going to do that again. Maybe in parts, but we have to definitely go for some attacking.
You a little bit scared of Saliba's mistake proneness at the moment?
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
Okay.
It's a blip. It isn't something that concerns me at all.
You know what I'm scared of? Marquinhos' mistake proneness.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I think we have to shoot. I think the biggest thing I would say is just shoot.
I think you target Marquinhos exactly. I think you circle him on the game sheet and you say this guy has been at the crime scene of every single PSG exit within the last 5 years. And we need to make that happen again.
Yeah.
So how do you guys stop the kind of false nine system you each got going on? Is it like the midfield? Is it like one of the João Neves or Vitinha that needs to stop it? Or Fabian Ruiz? Is it going to be Saliba coming out to stop Dembele? Is it going to be one of your midfielders that just man marks him? Like, how is that going to work?
That's a great question.
It's a really good question. I think Arsenal have it a little easier. Yes.
I was going to say the same thing. Just because of the pure height of the midfielders.
That's what I was going to say. Mm. And our Falstein striker is also a midfielder.
Yeah.
So he's like kind of bigger in stature already. And we talked about his hold-up play being great. So I think if we use our size and if Thomas Partey in the second leg especially, obviously, comes back and we are already in a good position, I think that really, really has a huge impact on the game. If we can go in with even just a one-goal lead, even if we're drawing, like, I don't want to do that, but yeah. I think Thomas Partey just adds another element that maybe will surprise PSG or just, like, you know, catch them off guard a little bit since he isn't playing in the first game.
The height thing is always something that worried me in this PSG midfield, and it kind of got pushed away because of the technical ability that our midfielders have. But against Aston Villa, the reason why they played so good in the second leg was because they added height to the midfield in Amadou Onana. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought they should have done in the first leg. And when he came on at halftime, in the first leg, he kind of gave them a little bit more stability in the midfield.
Yeah.
But when we're up against tall midfielders, it tends to be a little bit harder.
Yeah.
There's no ignoring the technical quality of Vitinha, of Fabian Ruiz, and of João Neves. It's there, no question. But when faced up against a little bit taller opposition, there's a little bit of control that kind of goes away, I think. And I'm scared that that's going to happen against Declan Rice, notably, tomorrow.
Fair enough.
Last thing I'll say is that I still don't know what lineup we're going to go with. We might play Trossard at striker. I think that's what we did in the last game against Palace. We did.
Yeah, that's what you did.
Yeah, we did. So I think we're probably going to go with that again, which is unfortunate. Yeah, that's the one other thing that could be a big issue is that while it worked against some random team that we beat 4-0, Ipswich, I don't know who it was, I forget. While it worked
against them,
against PSG in a system that isn't familiar with us and players that we don't always have in those spots, that hasn't always worked. It's going to be different. So maybe that could be a bit of a favor in PSG. But again, I'm confident. I think Saka versus Nuno Mendes. Nuno Mendes is a great player. But I give Saka the edge, especially after what he did against Real Madrid. I know it was
against
Alaba.
Against an aging David Alaba. I think it's going to be very interesting.
I think
I wouldn't put it past Saka to absolutely destroy Nuno Mendes. But I also can't see a world in which Nuno Mendes has a stinker of a performance like David Alaba.
I don't see that either. But I just think Saka, I think he's going to be ready.
Okay.
I think the whole team's going to be ready. I think it'll be a
score prediction.
Game. I don't like doing score predictions.
I'll give a score prediction.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think, where is the game tomorrow?
At the Emirates.
Arsenal win tomorrow. 1-0.
Yeah.
Off a corner or something.
It's definitely a set piece.
It's a tight, tight game.
It's definitely going to be a set piece.
I think you have more chances throughout the game. Mm. I think Dembele in particular struggles bad.
Okay.
Very
bad. I would like that to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1-0. I don't know how the first leg is going to work.
I'll say 2-1.
My overall tie prediction is that Arsenal is going to the Champions League final. That's my overall prediction. Not bad on you guys on PSG. Right. I can't say you guys. It's an audio podcast joint. But I think PSG will still hold their heads high, yeah, but that this is more Arsenal's time, and okay, they'll be better equipped to deal with it. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but I just think they are
okay,
better equipped to deal with you guys. I think it's a better matchup for them.
We'll see.
And I think Inter is a better matchup for Barcelona, which is why, maybe controversially, even though Inter is in bad form in the domestic leagues, I think they beat Barcelona.
Interesting. Barca-PSG Champions League final.
Barca-PSG Champions League final is what I would like more.
I think so.
But my prediction is,
I think we draw Arsenal tomorrow Inter and win at the Parc.
At the Parc.
I don't want to watch my team in a Champions League final. No.
It's a weird feeling.
Boring ass Champions League final too if it's Juve versus Inter. My lord.
Yeah, I could not.
Juve versus Barca would be fucking fantastic. Oh, I'd love that so much.
I couldn't do it. I would cry. Like,
that'd be
I'd
actually, so fun.
Guys. Oh my god.
We're getting into the meat and potatoes, as they say.
Meat and potatoes of this. You got Leafs. Like,
I know. Like, I don't. Like, I can't even imagine what. I can't even remember what it was like. I kind of can. Watching the Raptors in the finals. That was an experience.
Yeah.
Like, to watch Arsenal, like, like my team that I've. My team in my first choice sport. Crazy.
First choice sport, you know.
Like, to play.
To watch?
To watch.
To watch over a full season? Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Guys, playoff hockey, there's nothing better. Like, I'm so sorry. It's actually crazy. Guys, I'm sorry. It's actually crazy.
All right.
He's like, Canadian. It's honest. Fine. It's fine. It's fine.
You can have you can have a Champions League final. That's terrible. You're a Stanley Cup final, guys. Oh my god. Like, birds flying. The Oilers fucking won yesterday. So annoying. Anyway.
What's that series at?
2-2. Should have been down 3-0.
I saw that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been yet another episode of the 6-Yard Box Podcast. Do we want to do... Do we want to do an FPL roundup?
Oh, we definitely should not.
I'm going to keep this very, very short, but this week was a blank game week.
This guy's sleeping, bro.
It's not going to switch to you, Blake. You have to be talking to your mic for the camera to switch to you, actually.
I edit the podcast. I can do it.
Anyways, it was a blank game week.
This is an all-time bad game week for Antwerp.
This is getting into the history.
It was a blank game week, so we all had to play our free hit because so many good teams were playing in the FA Cup and their opponents didn't have a game to play. So we all had to play our free hit, but Antoine over here
definitely fucking slept past the deadline.
I woke up at 3 a.m. in a sweat.
That's crazy. How do you wake up at 3 a.m.?
Forgetting to set my team. Oh
my
god,
my FPL team. No, you don't.
Forgetting to set my team. And I woke up and I did it in 2 minutes.
You're not. Why do you care? The FPL season's over too.
I know it's over, but now I'm just happy that Miles is not going to catch me and I could relax now. This may be our last FPL roundup until the end of the season.
Yeah, when we announce the winner. This is a winner. Hopefully I still
win. Bingo card, maybe.
Yo, hopefully I still win, dude. I might not.
No. You're good.
You think I still got it?
You're good. Okay. You're good. This makes up for the 50 that you got on me.
Okay.
When I forgot the deadline.
Okay. Perfect.
So I think we're even now. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, now this has been another episode of the 6-Yard Box Podcast. Yeah, you can get up now, Blake. Sleeping on the fucking job. My goodness. We thank you again for listening to another episode of the production, ladies and gentlemen. A special edition of the 6-Yard Box Podcast in our brand new studio.
Woohoo!
With our LED sign is going to give me epilepsy one day. We're going to be adding a lot to the studio over the summer months. We're going to switch that United kit with like something else. I don't know. What do you want that kit to be?
It should be an Aaron Ramsdale kit.
An Aaron Ramsdale kit.
Okay.
And is that going to be Onano up there?
Maybe.
Oh, God, I hate him.
Or maybe we just put another one
there. I question if it's racially motivated at this point. Because
what is he talking
about? We were having a conversation before, and there's no black keeper hating on.
Mignon, yeah.
Yeah, there's Mignon. But you'll be hitting clear. Like, even Emi Martinez, who makes just as many mistakes and who is just as a shithouse, you don't make as much fun of him.
Wow, he does. He does.
He doesn't.
What are you talking about?
You don't make as much fun about
It also
Martinez.
Has to do with you being a United fan. If Emi Martinez is a United keeper,
that's fair.
Oh, dude, you wouldn't hear the
that is fair.
Every day of my life, I say I was right. Emi Martinez is overrated. I say that every day. Yeah. Every day I say that, Julian.
I love how you stop pulsating the slide. Because we're not done yet.
Fuck, I hate him too, bro.
No, but you'll never, like, before the start of an episode, bring up an Emi Martinez mistake compilation.
Yeah, because Onana's funny, bro. He's like comedy in net.
I don't disagree with that. Anyways, we're going to figure out the kits, and we're going to figure out the rest of the setup. Maybe we'll bring up some little memorabilia on the table here eventually. Eventually, we'll have a whole other person on this table when Miles comes in June. Mm. But for now, I am loving how it looks, and glad I could not be happier.
Perfect.
Everybody, this has been the 6-Yard Box.
We're flashing again.
If you are watching, on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and let us know down in the comments who here is the biggest homer and has the most bias on the podcast. If you're giving us a 5-star rating on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast, give us a 5-star rating and let us know that question as well. And once again, everybody, this has been a special episode of the 6-Year Box Podcast. And Blake, see us away.
We out.
See ya.
See you Thursday.